Exodus chapter 16 and also Psalm 78. Psalm 78. In Exodus, we'll read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll read verses 10 through 17. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Moses and Aaron, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then, while all that was going on, said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Verse 10, And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. Then over in Psalm 78, we'll read verses 23 through verse 25. Though we had commanded the clouds from heaven, and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food, he sent them meat to the full. In Exodus 16, there is the biblical account of God raining down manna, bread from heaven for his redeemed people, for an undeserving people. In Psalm 78, there is a review of this redeemed people's history. And in our text there in Psalm 78, this manna that God rained down is referred to in verse 25 as angels' food. The very food that angels of heaven feed upon. Man did eat angels' food. What a remarkable statement. Man did eat angels' food. Man eating, man partaking of the food of heaven. The very food of the angels. Our subject this morning is living on angels' food. living on angels' food. Back in Exodus 16, we want to look at some of the details of this event. That'll be our first main point, and then our second point we'll just make, second main point, we'll just make application to ourselves. But first of all, this is an event that involves a redeemed people. In the early chapters of Exodus, we see the children of Israel, they're under the cruel bondage and oppression of Egypt. God raises up a deliverer in Moses. In chapter 12, the blood of the Passover lamb is shed for God's people. In chapter 14, God's deliverer Moses brings these people to the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's armies are in hot pursuit, but by the almighty power of God, Moses stretches forth his rod and God rolls back the waters. And Israel crosses over on dry ground. And when the last Israelite crossed over, Moses again stretches forth his rod and God lets go of the waters. And Pharaoh and his armies are drowned. There's a picture of victorious redemption. It's a miracle of God's doing. So here is a people that has experienced the intervening love and mercy and grace and miraculous power of God in their lives. Here is a people that God has made a difference in their lives. So it is an event that involves a redeemed people. It is also an event that involves a very fickle people. In Exodus chapter 15, we see this redeemed people. And they're excited. They're absolutely thrilled. They're overwhelmed with wonder and awe. And with passion and thanksgiving, they lift up their voices to praise to the one who saved them. Exodus 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. And as you read that chapter, you see a people that are completely absorbed with God. A people completely focused upon God. And then in verse 22 of Exodus 15, these people are brought into the wilderness. And after 3 days, they find no water. For 3 days, they journey in the hot and sandy wilderness without water, experiencing the barrenness of the wilderness. And in verse 23, by this time they're weary, they're parched, they come to a place called Marah. And there was water in Marah, but it was undrinkable. And we read in this verse 24 of Exodus 15 that this miraculously redeemed people, who 3 days earlier were so thrilled and excited and singing praises to God, we read, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And the same God who so miraculously brought them across the Red Sea again intervenes in their lives. And by His miraculous power, He makes those bitter waters sweet. He makes those undrinkable waters drinkable. In verse 27, God leads them to a place called Elim, and he allows them to rest there. And then coming to our text, they have journeyed from Elim, and now are between Elim and Sinai, in a place called the Wilderness of Sin. And it has now been approximately 30 days since they were miraculously redeemed. A month. They've been a month out of the cruel rule of Pharaoh and his taskmasters. And there they are in the wilderness. Place of great restlessness. Very unsettled place. And there they are. Nothing to eat. Nothing to drink. And once again, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Doesn't say they lifted up their voice to pray, but they murmured. God had shown up in their lives in Egypt. God had shown up in their lives at Marah. God had shown up in their lives at Elim. Here is a people that have repeatedly experienced God's miraculous power in their life. And here they are in a place that God has led them. And they're saying to Moses and Aaron, your deliverance of us has put us in a place where we cannot possibly survive. Here is a people who just shortly before had experienced the miraculous power of God. And now they're questioning God's ability to take care of them, to provide for them. They are questioning God's wisdom, God's power, God's goodness, God's love, God's faithfulness. Here is a people whose heart is far from God. 1 month. That's all it took. There they are. They're tired. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And they're irritable. Here is a miraculously redeemed people. And they have basically stopped believing in the God who showed up in their bondage and brought them out. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. When they were in the bondage of Egypt, living their lives under the dominion of the cruel taskmasters, they cried out unto God. They cried, oh God, please get us out of Egypt. Oh Lord, we don't have any life here in Egypt. We're mistreated. We're miserable. Oh God, please get us out of Egypt. And God brought them out with a mighty hand. And now this same people, miraculously redeemed, what are they saying? Now they're saying, we want to go back to Egypt. Oh, we had it so good in Egypt. We sat by the flesh pots. We had bread. We had a weekly allowance in Egypt. We didn't have to live by faith in Egypt. We didn't have to trust in God in Egypt. You brought us out here to die. Oh, what a fickle people. Notice what God does. Here they are, a redeemed people, a fickle people. They're murmuring, they're complaining, They've turned against God. They are a people who cannot sustain spirituality. A people with little to no spiritual passion and drive. And we read in verse 4, then. Need to circle that word, put stars around it and everything else. Then, said the Lord. Considering the condition of these people, considering what they were doing, considering what God has done for them, you might expect God to say, I will rain down fire from heaven to destroy you. I'm finished. I've had enough of your murmuring and your complaining. Then the Lord said, I will rain bread from heaven for you. That's amazing. It is a promise from God. I will rain bread from heaven for you. Here's a people that desperately need something. They desperately need something from God. And we hear God say, first word out of His mouth, behold. Behold. Introducing something extraordinary and wondrous. Behold. I will rain bread from heaven for you. And it's an everyday promise. Notice verse 4. He goes on to say, gather. And read a couple verses later, every day. I will for you every day. It's not I will for you occasionally, but I will for you every day. And it's a test. Verse 4, I will rain bread from heaven for you every day that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. So what Israel would do with this bread from heaven is connected to their walk with the Lord. Then in verses 10 through 15, God does a work in their midst. Verse 10 opens with, it came to pass. And we see the people saw the glory of the Lord. So what God did that day and every day was connected to the glory of the Lord. In verse 12, it was a work in spite of the people. He said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Nevertheless, God would send bread. It was a work of abundance and satisfaction. He said, ye shall be filled. And it was a work that would cause them to have a greater knowledge of God. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. In verses 13 and 14, it was a work done right where they are. Notice verse 14. Notice that phrase, behold upon the face of the wilderness. No long journey had to be taken to receive the bread. There it was, upon the face of the wilderness. There was an accessibility to this bread from heaven. It fell all around their camp. It was a life-sustaining gift. Also in verses 13 and 14, this bread from heaven came encased with the dew. That was God's way of keeping it fresh. In verse 14, this bread from heaven was a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost of the ground. It's something that has the appearance of insignificance. But though small, there was plenty. In verse 15, this bread from heaven was beyond the common, the natural, and it was incomprehensible to man. It says, they wist not what it was. It was different from anything they'd ever seen. And they called it manna, which simply means, what is it? What is it? What in the world is that stuff? We've never seen this before. And notice, Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. It is not, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to observe and to talk about, but to eat. They were to appropriate it to themselves. In verse 16, we hear the instruction. Gather of it every man, every individual. There's the bread, it's upon the face of the wilderness. Gather it. Gather of it. It was bread from heaven. Came right down where they were for every man to gather of it. And this was so every morning for nearly 40 years. So what does this bread typify? This bread from heaven, which came directly from God, a gift from God, that came right where they were, fresh every morning, and sustained their lives, and appeared insignificant, was white in color, incomprehensible, is the food of celestial beings. It's the food of angels. And what is that? That is Jesus. We hear Jesus say in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. In verse 49 of John chapter 6, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. And in verse 50 of John chapter 6, pointing to himself, he said this. Right after he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, he says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. And then in verse 51, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. What they were partaking of was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the manna. Now the children of Israel, as a redeemed people, mirror you and I that are saved. And their history and behavior in the wilderness also mirrors you and I as well. Which brings us to the application of this event. Here you have, just like you and I, a miraculously redeemed people. We have been miraculously redeemed. Liberated, released, rescued from a bondage far, far greater, far, far worse than Egyptian bondage. We have been loosed from the power and grip of one far more fierce and far more cruel than Pharaoh. We have been redeemed by one far greater than Moses. Jesus Christ, the Savior, came where we were, broke the holding and binding power of sin and Satan, and raised us and lifted us up out of the depths of sin. We are a redeemed people. We are a people that have experienced the intervening, loving, merciful, gracious, miraculous power of God in our lives to the degree that it has changed us. And here we are in the wilderness of the world. It is a place filled with pitfalls. It is a place that has left many maimed and with many wounds. It is a place where we're likely to get caught in a snag every now and then. It's one obstacle after another. A place of desolation, a place of dilemma. A place of great trouble, difficulty, and hardship. It is a place of suffering, a place of sorrow and affliction. It is a place of great strain and stress. But what we need to hear tonight, today, is behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I for you. You can't say those words enough. I for you. He is saying, I have something heavenly for you. And I will send it to you. What I have. Again, in the context of the manna, we need to hear and see Jesus pointing to himself. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And know this, the Lord has something for you every day in Jesus Christ. Every day. And he sends it right where we are. Not all of Israel's days were the same. Not all of our days are the same. Days can differ greatly. But this, every single day, regardless of the day, I will send bread from heaven for you. Regardless of the day, regardless of where you are, I will send for you what I have in Jesus Christ. And again, every day. And then he says, go out and gather. Go out and gather what I send for you every single day. I will rain bread from heaven for you. I will rain angels' food, what the angels feed upon, which is Jesus Christ. I will send angels' food for you every day. I have something for you in Jesus Christ, and I will send it to you every day. every day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that today? That the Lord sends to you every day food in Jesus Christ. What He has for us in Jesus Christ. And what He sends, there's light there. There's strength there. There's healing. There's rest. There's relief. There's peace. There's fulfillment. There's victory. And there's joy. And every day, He sends it where I am. Lays it upon the wilderness. And I am to get up every day and behold upon the face of the wilderness bread, angels' food for me. You see, we have this crippling and debilitating tendency to only behold the wilderness. But behold, here's what God says. Behold, upon the face of your wilderness, there's angels' food for you. Behold. Don't be oblivious to it. God has sent to you, talking about the saved, blessings in Jesus Christ, something to feed upon in Jesus Christ. Behold the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Look for it. God said He would send it. Look for it. It's there. Angels' food for you upon the face of your wilderness. There's bread for heaven, bread from heaven for you. It's right there. And every day we have to do something with it. Every day. What are you going to do? God sends it to us every day. What are we going to do? He sends us angels' food every day. Are we going to feed upon the husks of the world? There's angels' food right there. And we feed upon the husks of the world. What are we going to do? By virtue of the fact that this manna lay on the ground just outside of their tents, they had to do something with it every day. They could gather it, or they could open up their tent door and walk out and trample all over it. They had to do something. They could gather, or they could trample it beneath their feet. And so it is with you and I every day. Every day, God sends angels' food for you and I. And He says, gather. Now it's on the ground. So you're going to have to stoop or get upon your knees to get it. It's not up here. It's down there. You're going to have to stoop. But the Lord says, gather of it. What are you gathering today? For the redeemed people, God had something for them in Christ every single day. Every single day there was treasure in abundance. And I believe that's still so today. And God rains it on purpose from heaven right where we are. He puts right where we are that which will help us. And we trample all over it many times. Trample all over it while saying, oh, I need help from God. It's right there. You're walking on it, not paying a bit of attention. Sends from heaven that which will encourage us. That which will strengthen us. That's what which will suffice us. What are we doing? Are we gathering? Or are we trampling upon it? He sends that which will instruct us every day and assure us, and draw us, and bless us, and yes, prepare us. So he says, behold! Behold! Don't be oblivious. Behold the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Behold the angel's food which the Lord hath given you to eat. Don't be oblivious. Don't be unmindful. Don't be ignorant of. Don't be blind to the bread from heaven for you upon the face of the wilderness. Don't walk all over it as if it's not there. It's there. Gather of it. Gather of it. Do we believe that God sends us bread from heaven suited to you and I, and that He sends it every single day where we are? Do we believe that? If we do, we'll be determined to gather every day what the Lord has for us in Jesus Christ. We'll be determined. I know God has angels' food for me today. And I can gather it. I determine that I will. Gather this food. Be committed to gather every day what God has for you in Jesus Christ. Don't leave your tent and just walk all over it and trample on it. And then say, oh, I sure wish God would bless me. I sure wish God would do something in my life. You're walking all over it. Wake up. Stoop down and gather what God has for you. Stoop down, bend down, get on your knees. Gather, receive, and partake of what God has for us. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. This is the bread. Oh, that we would hear God say, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Every day. Gather it. Gather it. Gather it.
You say, I'm hungry. Whose fault is that? Gather it. Gather it. I don't have any spiritual food. That's a lie. God sends it every day. God sends it every day. Gather it. Gather and eat. Gather and eat. Whatever it is that God has for you today, gather it and eat it. Where it becomes a part of you. Becomes a part of your walk in your life. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Are we trampling upon it? Or are we gathering it? If saved, I assure you, at this very present moment, whatever your circumstances, there is some angel's food for you in Jesus Christ. And God has sent it right where you are. It's there. You say, well, I can't see it. It's there. Well, how do you know it's there? Because He said He'd send it. It's there. It's there. The problem is, again, it lay upon the wilderness. It's there. Many times God's people are looking up in the trees for it. That's not where it is. It's in the wilderness. It's laying right there. You say, I can't see it. Well, it's there. Stoop down. Maybe you'll see it. Bend down. Get on your knees. Maybe you'll see it. Don't just walk about trampling all over it. It's there. Gather of it. It's there. What are we going to do with it? What are we doing with it? It's there every day. And we know in time, Israel, after they enjoyed the blessings of the manna, they would eventually say, all we have to eat is this manna. They got tired of it. And I believe that's really where many of God's people are. There's angels' food, it's right there. They don't want that. They want something else. They want something else. You remember the children of Israel, they gathered twice as much the day before the Sabbath. Because they weren't to gather on the Sabbath day. You and I, that's turned around. Our Sabbath is Sunday, the Lord's Day. That's the New Testament Sabbath. That's another message. But it's that day that we gather twice as much. That we can gather twice as much. We get up in the morning. We ought to gather of the manna that God has sent for us. Then we come to the house of God and we ought to gather some more manna. Don't come to the house of God trampling all over the manna that God has already provided. But come to the house of God partaking of that manna, ready to receive more. I will for you. I love those words. I will for you. There has not been a day in my life where those words aren't true. I will for you. God's always doing something for me. Every day. Have I always recognized it? No. Many times we're oblivious. But God does many things for us And God sends the manna right where we are. Right where we are. Sometimes people think, well, I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I'm going to have to live somewhere else. I'm going to, whatever. So I can get some spiritual food. It's there. God sends it to your wilderness. It's there. Gather it. There's strength there. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.